Good morning and welcome. The Lord be with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. And it is good to be here as God's people. I'm a different face, both in this room and on the Facebook stream this morning. My name's Will. If you don't know me, I am the vicar at the Vine, and it's good to be here, especially ahead of some substantial changes that are likely coming up very soon. But it's great to be here as God's people. One of the things I am aware of on this Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost is I recall how the disciples were obeying Jesus in Jerusalem and waiting for the Holy Spirit. And there's a sense of waiting, which is perhaps a little bit like the gap between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, but different. That waiting there was one of full of uncertainty and what's coming next. But this waiting in Jerusalem for what they don't know, but they are waiting with eagerness because the Lord has promised power for them. And so I wonder how they were waiting. And as I was wondering that, I went to the Psalms because they were gathering there. And I wonder if they were praying the Psalms. Things like, I will sing of your love and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? Can you hear the expectation there? And shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to wait on the Lord. We're going to hear his word. It'd be great to receive Malcolm's teaching today. We're going to gather around the Lord's table and we're going to lift our voices to praise him. So before we do that, let us pray. And we pray together the words that I assume will be on a screen somewhere. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in us the fire of your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So let's sing our first songs, beginning with All Heaven Declares. Please take a seat. We're about to gather around God's word, hear it read, hear it taught. And so as we come to that, let's begin to offer ourselves by taking this posture of confession and acknowledgement of our need of God. God is light, so let us be lights in the world. And would you pray with me as we pray? Mighty and loving God, in Jesus Christ, you bring us all to new life. Mend what is broken in us. Restore us by the power of the Holy Spirit and strengthen us to follow our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And may Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to forgive sinners, give you his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. Risen, ascended Lord, as we rejoice at your triumph, fill your church on earth with power and compassion, that all who are estranged by sin may find forgiveness and know your peace. To the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, Bridge and Ratha are going to bring our readings.
The first reading is Psalm number 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of God.
Good morning. The New Testament reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 15 to 17 and then 21 to the end. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time that Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bridge. Thank you, Ratha, for reading for us. Let's pray. Lord God, may we be those whose delight is in your word. May we be those who keep returning to it in the day and in the night. And we pray by your Spirit that you would use your word to establish us firm in faith, to water and irrigate our lives, that we might bear the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As Will said at the beginning of the service, this is a time of waiting. Last Thursday was Ascension Day, when we remember how, after he'd shown himself alive to his disciples on many occasions, Jesus returned to be with the Father. But before he disappeared from their sight, Jesus gave them very clear instructions. Wait for the Holy Spirit, the promised gift. For the Spirit will fill you with the strength and the courage and the wisdom you need to follow the second instruction. Bear witness. Go and bear witness to Jesus. Go to all nations, to all people. Teach them about Jesus and invite them to become disciples too. And that's what happens. They do as Jesus tells them. They're disciples, they're followers. They return to Jerusalem, they gather in what must have been a very large room, 120 people, we're told, men and women together, and they wait, and they pray, and they begin to work out how they're going to live together, how they're going to organize their common life, now that Jesus is no longer with them in person, in the flesh, physically. and in the passage that was just read for us by Rather, Acts of the Apostles, we see them deciding that it's necessary to fill the gap that's been left by Judas. Jesus appointed 12, and now there are only 11. And the reading, as I read it, seemed to me to highlight three things. First, we hear Peter tell us that it's important to make sure Scripture is to be fulfilled. That's in verse 16. Then he reminds us and them that the central task of the church is to be witnesses to Jesus and his resurrection. That's verse 22. And then we see that everything they do, including this solemn act of finding a replacement, is grounded in prayer as they ask God to show them what to do. That's verse 24. Three things shaped their common life as they started to work out what it was to be the church. Faithfulness to Scripture, knowing that they were witnesses to Jesus, and prayer. It seems to me that those three things have always, from that moment forward, been at the heart of what we are all called to do as followers of Jesus. Listen to God's word. Witness to Jesus. And pray. Now, of course, their culture, their situation was entirely different to ours. So many changes over the years. And we no longer do everything in exactly the same way that the early church did. For instance, when choosing leaders, we generally go for application forms and interviews rather than choosing lots. But the underlying principles haven't changed. How we put them into practice, yes, that's changed. But the underlying principles, those are still the same. We're still rooted in Scripture, called to be witnesses to Jesus, called to pray. Not only when we're appointing a new leader, but in every element, every aspect of our lives. Now, I could have talked about any of those three things, faithfulness to Scripture, prayer, but what I want to talk about this morning particularly is that third element, being witnesses to the resurrection. We heard Peter say that being a witness to the resurrection is a central task for those who are called to be apostles. And if you know Matthew's gospel, and particularly the last chapter, Matthew 28, the passage that's known as the Great Commission, when Jesus goes and tells them to take the good news out into the world, well, that passage says that Jesus is speaking to the 11. But the church has always taken this commission and this task as coming, yes, through the apostles, but to all of us. This is not just a task for those 11 at that time. This is a task for the whole church, in every community, in every place, and in every time. We're all called to go and make disciples of all nations. We're all called to teach Jesus what he has taught us. And we are all told that we have to be witnesses. And I want to insist that all of us really does mean all of us. This isn't a task we can quietly insist is actually for other people, but not for us, that we don't have the right gifts, that we don't have the right talents, that we don't have the right aptitudes, that actually we're just too busy. Yes, the Bible is full of lots and lots of stories about lots and lots of people who are given very specific tasks that are just for them. People who are chosen by God for a special purpose. Noah, Miriam, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, Esther, the prophets, John the Baptist. You get the idea. They are special people called to special tasks. But the promise that Jesus gives, the promise that the Spirit is coming, is a promise that all of us are going to be equipped. All of us are going to be enabled. All of us are going to have access to the courage and the faithfulness and even the words that we will need to do a task that is for all of us, including people who will never grab the headlines, about whom stories will never be told, but who still serve God faithfully and still make a difference in the world. Let me tell you about one of them, Justus Barsabbas. Everybody know about Justus Barsabbas? You blooming well should. You just heard a reading about him. He was the other one, not Matthias, the one who wasn't chosen. In the reading that Radha just read for us, when the disciples look for a candidate to replace Judas Iscariot, they find two men who have been with Jesus from the very beginning, from the days of John the Baptist all the way through his earthly ministry, who have been there for his death, for his resurrection, and have been there to see him alive afterwards. Two witnesses to the resurrection. One, Justus Barsabbas, and the other, Matthias, and they cast lots, and Matthias is chosen. He becomes one of the 12. Justus Barsabbas is not chosen for a special role. And I think that makes him a bit more like you and me. The not chosen one. This other man walks away that day, not having been chosen. I wonder how he felt. How does it feel not to be chosen? Actually, he's been not chosen twice, because he was one of the 70 that Jesus sent out, after which he chose the 12. He missed out that time too. How do you respond when you're not the chosen one? Well, he carries on being faithful, obeying scripture, witnessing to Jesus, and praying. And if you look him up, you can discover that other doors of loving service opened up for him. His name doesn't appear again in scripture. But actually there are mentions of him. The Jewish historian Josephus, who wrote about the Jewish war between the Romans and the Jews, 68 to 70 AD, tells us that Justus Barsabbas went off and founded a church in a village called Betaris, 30 miles southwest of Jerusalem, on the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. He led the church there for about 35 years until the day when the general who became the emperor of Vespasian arrived with the legions, and the town was destroyed. In that part of the world, Justus Barsabbas is remembered not only as a leader of the church, as a bishop, but also as a martyr. And when, after the dust had settled 50 years later, the town of Betaris was refounded, because it was a town in a good place, they called it the town of the free, for those who refused to be enslaved but remained faithful to God. We're all called to be witnesses of the resurrection, including the not chosen ones. We may never have a great task or a great responsibility or see our names written down, but God has called us by name. He has promised us his Holy Spirit. And each of us, in the words of Psalm 1, has our chance to bear fruit in due season. And there are always opportunities to bear witness, sometimes by words, sometimes by action, sometimes both. Sharing the gospel, yes. Teaching the faith to others, yes. Tending and caring for those in need. Speaking up for the voiceless and against injustice. Working to safeguard God's good creation and its creatures. And for some of our sisters and brothers, even today, it still means martyrdom. I'm in the middle of reading a book called The 21, about 21 martyrs of the Egyptian church murdered by ISIS just 2 years ago. Just 3 days ago, at St. Mark's Broom Hill, 10 adults stood up and said they wanted to publicly accept this commission to be witnesses to the resurrection, to be known as disciples of Jesus. Julie and Tim from our congregation, 5 people of Iranian origin, standing up publicly and saying that they are witnesses to the resurrection, that they are followers of Jesus. And our bishop, Bishop Pete, prayed that Jesus' promise of the Spirit would be fulfilled in them, saying to each one of them, as he laid his hands on their heads, God has called you by name. Receive his Holy Spirit. And then a series of questions. And to each question, each of those 10 people responded, yes. Yes, with the help of God, I will. Will you continue in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles? Yes. Will you persevere in resisting evil? Yes. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? Yes. Will you seek to serve Christ in all people, loving your neighbor as yourself? Yes. Will you pray for the world and its leaders? Will you defend the weak? Will you seek peace? Will you seek justice? Yes, they said. Yes. With the help of God, I will. And so today I invite you to say the same thing, whether you're here in church or whether you're watching at home. With Justice Barsabbas, with Tim and Julie and the 8 other people who were confirmed with them, the whole company of God's people throughout the ages. I'm going to ask the question, and I invite you to respond, yes, with the help of God, I will. I ask you, will you follow Jesus? Will you be a witness to his resurrection? Will you tell and teach and tend and transform and treasure and live as lights in the world to the glory of God the Father? Yes, with the help of God, I will. May God fulfill his word in us. May God grant us the promised Holy Spirit. May we flourish and bear fruit. Amen.
Thank you, Malcolm. I wonder if we can continue in that same vein as we stand and acknowledge our faith and renew in this moment our witness to our faith and all that God has called us to. So would you stand with me? Let us declare our faith in God. Do you believe and trust in God the Father, source of all being and life, the one for whom we exist? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Son, who took our human nature, died for us and rose again? We believe and trust in him. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit, who gives life to the people of God and makes Christ known in the world? We believe and trust in him. This is the faith of the church. This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, and Rosemary will lead us in our prayer.
I'm feeling sad and honoured to be here. I'm sad because Jackie, who has written in her thoughtful way the prayers this morning, felt she couldn't come, but I feel very honoured to be reading them on her behalf. Father, we have just celebrated Jesus' ascension into heaven and are looking forward to Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is so amazing that the Creator of the universe should show such love towards us that he would send his Son to die for us, and then welcome him back into heaven, allowing the Holy Spirit to come to us, to be with us, to give us power to ask for things in Jesus' name. We worship you and thank you, and ask that we may be more aware of the Spirit at work within us. We pray for your church in this troubled world, especially in the many countries where Christians are persecuted, tortured, killed, rather than deny you. We give thanks for their courage and for the way your church is increasing in these places, despite the persecution. And we pray that more and more people will come to know you. We pray for your church in this country, where so often it seems to be sidelined while people get on with their own affairs without giving you a thought. Thank you that during the pandemic, the church's role of care for others has come to the fore and been really visible, particularly in the media. And thank you that the vital part it plays in the community is being acknowledged. May this publicity bring more people to an awareness of what it means to be a Christian, and hopefully to an awareness of you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for your world, where there is so much conflict and suffering. Especially we hold up to you Jerusalem, Palestine, and the country of Israel, and the serious conflict there. May the Jews and Palestinians come to a better understanding of each other and respect each other's human rights. Thank you for the advances made against the coronavirus in this country and for the relief of having many lockdown conditions eased. But we pray for countries where there is no slowing down of the virus spread. Particularly, we hold up to you the country of India, where there is so much suffering. Bring comfort and help to those with the virus, or to those who have lost loved ones, and especially for those trying to care for those suffering from the virus, when vital supplies such as oxygen are simply not available. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now we bring before you the recent elections held in this country. We pray for all those who have been elected. Give them wisdom and integrity as they deal with the many local issues for which they are responsible. We pray for our local community and for all those responsible for caring for its needs. MPs, councillors, police, health workers, local services, postmen, road maintenance, dustmen. Bless them for all they have done, despite the risks, during the pandemic. And we pray for St. Tim's. Thank you for the wonderful fellowship we have with each other, despite the problems brought by the pandemic and the restrictions on meeting. We thank Malcolm and all the team for the way they have kept things going so that we can meet, whether online or face-to-face, and for bringing a sense of normality despite the abnormal conditions. We pray for Malcolm and Ruth, as their retirement seems to be coming so fast. We give thanks for their time with us. May they have a peaceful and productive time in their new environment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, Father, we pray for all who are unwell, whether in body or mind. We thank you that problems of mental health have recently been brought to prominence, and we pray that mental health care will get the resources it needs. Help us to be aware of and to care for anyone in our congregation who is unwell or who has other problems. Thank you again for the fellowship we have here. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Rosemary, and thank you, Jackie. Would you stand with me? So I wonder, and I'm not sure what the practice here is, if you could stay standing with me during the Thanksgiving prayer, partly because there's a sense in which we do this to proclaim the death of the Lord until he returns, and so we do it with an expectation and eagerness, and the posture of standing has that sense. So let's do that today, even if we don't do that normally, and then we'll sit and we come to the Lord's Prayer in just a short while. But we are gathered here online and physically in this room. The Lord is here. So lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence, his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. Blessed be God who feeds the hungry, who raises the poor, who fills our praise. Blessed be God forever. We are here present in this room, but there are those who are present online who can't be with us and receive physically today. So let us pray as we pray. Let us pray an acknowledgement of our spiritual communion together with each other and with Christ. Let's pray. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for the pains and insults you have borne for me. As I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. Let us draw near in faith and receive God's grace together. God, you feed us with the living bread from heaven. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and strengthen our love. Let us pray. Teach us to hunger for Christ, who is the true and living bread, and to live by every word that comes from your mouth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stand with me? The Lord be with you. Blessed are you, Lord God, King of the universe. To you be glory and praise forever. As we go out, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let's go out with joy as we began by offering our worship with our final song, Forth in your name, O Lord, I go.